All right, what's up everyone, and welcome to another episode of Our Lives in Medicine. This episode features Christy Block, physical therapist in Saskatchewan, Canada. Christy is a former collegiate volleyball player, current footballer, and a specialist in movement. She produces excellent content for anyone interested in improving their mobility, be it for use in the gym or just daily functional use. Her content will help anyone access the mobility that is hidden within their body. Check out this episode to learn more about her path through physical therapy and the life of a current practitioner in Canada. I hope you enjoy. And if you do, please like and share this episode with others and rate us on iTunes. You have no idea how much it helps and how much we really appreciate it. And as always, if you need some good beats to study or get some work done or just catch some good vibes, make sure you listen to the intro and outro and check the show notes for the artist shoutouts. I hope you enjoy and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Love is my major concern to write about, yeah. Love, love, love.
Football today. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably good anyway because it's like plus. Do you guys go by Celsius?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, it'd probably be like 100 to 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Like, it was pretty hot here today. Yeah. Jeez. So I'm kind of actually like, it's sad, but it's also kind of good because it was going to be really hot.
Yeah, you're going to catch rhabdo out there just trying to play football.
Yeah, exactly. That's so
good.
Yeah, our neighbors have, they just put up a pool, so they've been asking us to head over there, and I might take them up on that. It's just one of those, like, sits on top of the grass kind of thing, but hey.
That's still fun, though.
I agree, yeah, or, like, set up a slip and slide, anything when you don't have air conditioning.
That's true. Is that, like, a Canadian thing? No air conditioning?
Oh, no. We bought our house, and it was built in 63. And oh, wow. So it's just like an older home, and we're going to do renos like within a year or two. So we're just kind of like trying to power through until then.
Yeah. Respect. I respect that. That's tough though. No AC is like on those kind of days too. That happened to me one time in the summer. I was crashing. Like, we had got this 2-bedroom apartment and we had like 9 guys living in there. And the AC went out. So like, I'm sleeping on one of the couches and we're just all melting. It was the worst week of my life. I don't know how you do it constantly. That's crazy.
Honestly, we just rotate fans, like, and we carry them room to room. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's why I was like, you know what? Please don't sit in the closet because you'll melt. So
yeah. And then the other thing we do, like, honestly, it's kept us active because when it gets hot, we just go to the gym and, like, use the air conditioning there. So
exactly. Go to the gym to cool off instead of break a good sweat. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we do break a sweat at first, but then we're like, do you want to hang out for another half hour on the massage chairs? Yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Go to the gym, like, work hard to get a sweat, or just go home and like exist and start pouring sweat. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. Either way, you're burning calories, right? So it's like, it's a win.
You got to stay hydrated. You got to stay hydrated just to stay home, you know?
I haven't heard that, but yeah, totally. I am bad at hydrating though. Like, for being a healthcare professional, I should know better. And I've been trying. I don't know. Are you good at hydrating?
That's like one of the few things I am good at. It's like, I probably drink like, probably 2 or 3 liters of water a day.
No, you don't. Yeah. That's crazy.
I'm probably down to like 1.5 right now because like the hospital keeps me busy. But when I was like during quarantine and I was just working out twice a day, I was doing like 3. Yeah.
You were working out twice a day. What was that? I was doing something wrong during COVID then.
Oh yeah. Well, I was only home workouts. I didn't get to go to the gym, but
yeah,
I think because it was home workouts, I just got bored. I'd wake up at like noon and be like, all right, bang, workout. Then it'd be like 9:30. I was like, all right, let's get another workout in. Why not?
So. I definitely like upped my like mobility and stuff, but I never thought of a second workout. Next COVID, that's what I'll do.
There's always something, so we'll get another chance.
The next episode.
Yeah.
World shutdown.
Exactly. I mean, my mobility did go up because I was doing pretty solid. Like, I think before COVID, I was actually doing more mobility, but during COVID, I was just a lot. And now I'm like sitting or just like walking the hospital. My hips are so locked up, so I gotta get back at it.
Let me know. I can shoot you some hip videos. Stretches.
Maybe we could do like a like health professional mobility, like just quick, you know, like 2-3 minute mobility.
Absolutely.
I've talked to a couple of different people and that'd be awesome to get like something like that, maybe for like hips, back, shoulder, whatever, figure out like a little pattern. That'd be pretty cool.
I was actually thinking of like doing for different occupations, a doctor or a nurse or a dentist, you know, because everyone has very similar postures at their job. So that'd be kind of cool, like making certain exercise mobility routine that's quick and just for like that occupation.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet. Yeah. I mean, I know I could use it for my low back, for my shoulders, and obviously my hips and like legs. So yeah.
Would you actually do it if I made it though?
Oh, for sure. Like I do yoga now. When I say I'm not good at it, I'm doing it twice a week. So it's like I'm all about my mobility. That's like
okay.
The key to not getting old. And I'm still
I agree.
Getting old, but
yeah, I'm like I think that might be inevitable. But I do agree. Like the odd person that's like 70 that I see, they have like the best mobility ever, and they do. They look like they're like, well, I was gonna say 40, but maybe like 50.
Yeah. No. Seriously, I had a 90-something-year-old today that I was like, I thought you were like 60.
Wow. Did you ask what they were doing?
He is, I can't go into too much detail, but he's like still active in his business. He's still like a very active businessman. He eats well and he lifts weights. He said like running, he said he used to just run and he's like, oh, destroyed my body.
He's like,
I cannot endorse running. He's like, I endorse lifting weights. And I was like, respect.
Yes. And then you can keep your bone density. Like I promote just movement in general, but definitely weightlifting is so good, for the body.
Well, it's interesting too, because for COVID, I've done no barbell stuff. I haven't touched a barbell since February. And I've been doing a lot more just body weight and like Metcons and, you know, like AMRAPs and things like that. So my conditioning went up before residency started. But then I was less lean than when I was lifting weights. I think it's just like the metabolic requirement for maintaining muscle is so much more than just like running, you know?
Yeah, totally. Definitely. But I think like body weighted is safer on your joints. And like, I mean, I think that that's more like long-term.
Well, you know what I say, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. So I'm doing heavy weight. I'm going heavy when I can. So
I feel like for me, I always just have like these little knick-knack injuries ever since I turned 30, or maybe it's in my head. I don't know. So I've been like, you know, trying to work my way up back in weight in the gym. But ever since COVID, it's been like a slow process, but hopefully.
Totally agree. Yeah. And I feel like one interesting good thing about COVID is it forced me to take a break. So like, this is probably the longest I've gone without just putting heavy, heavy strain on my body.
Yeah.
Since I was like 10 years old. So.
Wow. Yeah. And how do you feel?
I think I've hit that breaking point where it's time to get back at it.
After this big sigh, you're like,
it's time. I'm going like barbell stir crazy. Like I need to lift and
hit
like a good lat pull down machine and like a good pec deck. You know, I just need like a good pec deck and do it. I've done so many push-ups, pull-ups.
Oh, yeah.
And like body weight squats. I just can't do anymore.
What about planking? Have you been doing planks too?
Yeah, so I do like probably 3 times a week. I'll do like a cycle of 8 rounds, 1 minute on, 30 seconds off of just like a quick plank. Yeah.
Wow, that just motivated me. I'm gonna try that.
Oh, it's awesome. And obviously, as you know, I'm just talking for others. Like the plank is one of the amazing exercises. I mean, hamstrings, quads, core,
yes,
back, everything, shoulders. I mean, it's a good warm up to work out.
Everything. And I love, like, even going from the plank into, like, you can do, like, the dead bug kind of style, like, the arm and leg lift. And then, yeah, just, like, isolating certain things because it's all, it's everything. Except for, like, the only population is probably, like, let's say someone has, like, a diastasis recti and they injured their core, like, their abdominals, and then they can work back to the plank. But honestly, for most people, it's pretty amazing.
It's one of those, like, core basic moves. I don't mean core, like, your abdominals. I just
mean, yeah.
I say, like, I was thinking today as prepping for this talk, I was like, all right, I gotta get my mind, like, back in the physio set. I'm kind of, like, on inpatient medicine right now, which is not what I want to do relatively. So it's like, I gotta get my mindset. And I was thinking, like, the big, if I met, like, a kid in high school who's like, I want to get big, and like, not big, but just like, I'm skinny, what can I do? What would be your recommendations for that kid?
Oh man, balanced lifestyle, but probably a lot of it is diet, not dieting, but just like nutrition in general. And then progressive overload.
Ooh, progressive overload. So
yeah.
give your definition.
Progressive overload, I would say, is just like gradually, not too slow, but gradually over time, increasing your resistance. So let's say you can only lift the bar, you know, like in a bench press. So you would maybe, and you have to feel your body out. Like everyone progresses at different rates, right? So that's the problem is some people are like, well, when? But it really just depends like, yeah, how many reps you can do and what your goal is. But I would say, yeah, once you're like feeling pretty comfortable at like, let's say your 10th rep and it's pretty heavy, it's time to move up. And you just gradually add on more resistance. And yeah, like you know, that'll help your muscles grow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The one of my favorite explanations of progressive overload is, I forget who it was. It was like a Greek, you know, god or something like that. But basically, the Greek person in the story, he was born, and at the same time, this bull calf was born, and they were like best friends. And so the kid from an early age would always carry the calf along with him, and so he'd always put him on his shoulders and carry the calf. And as the kid grew and the bull grew, the kid always carried the calf. As the bull got older and the boy got older, by the time he was like 18, he could carry this full grown bull on his back for like
miles. Wouldn't that be nice?
that's kind of how like progressive overload is. You're not going to just pick up the bull right off the bat and expect to do stuff with it. You got to like build up to it. But
totally. And I think that that's why I end up seeing a lot of patients like as a physio is that people don't take that time to just let their body adjust. They just kind of jump straight into it, especially people like post-COVID, right? Because then they were at home and they, exactly what you said, you're like, I want to go lift some weight, but you got to just like mentally like be patient and like, yeah, just go nice and gradual.
I'm going to make sure that I don't make a physiotherapist rich because that's like my go-to is like take time off, come back, get hurt. So I gotta make sure I take it easy when I start back, but.
Totally.
So one of the things, I would definitely want to come back to that, but one of the things I wanted to ask too is we talked about kind of physical therapist versus physiotherapist. I think that's just like nomenclature from America versus Canada.
Yeah, like in Canada, we kind of use them interchangeably. Like we just say physiotherapist or physical therapist, but usually like we just abbreviate it even and just say physio, really. But it wasn't until I talked to you that I didn't know that they had different terms in the States.
Yeah, and I'm not 100% positive on mine. But it was like, I've only had one person that I met here who called themselves a physiotherapist. And what she did was she kind of worked me through range of motion. Ah. It was like, I went to her healthy and kind of just like helped stay healthy. Whereas I go to a physical therapist when I get injured, like I sprain something, they work me out. They
you know,
put me through range of motion. I would go to her. She would hot cut me. She would, it was like an hour of torture, to be honest. Like, for example, she'd take my leg and she would flex it. So it's stretching my hamstring, right?
Yeah.
And then when she'd push it till I just couldn't take it anymore. Like, there, hold it. So she would hold it for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then she would start just like digging into the belly with her thumb while it's fully flexed and like fully extended. And I'm like, oh my God. Then she's like, all right, I got my thumb, you know, 3 centimeters, 4 centimeters into your hamstring. Now contract.
Yeah. And did you go, here's the question. Did you go back?
Multiple times, like
see,
I would be bruised and in pain after the session, but then the next day, like my mobility was insane. I would hit like a snatch or something at the gym, and she'd be like, "Let's go, let's go."
She sounds like an amazing woman.
She was awesome. She was so cool. Yeah, I want to be her when I grow up.
Me too. I feel like here it's like, I mean, that's probably why we use the terms as the same, is because we kind of do both, I guess. Like, we were trained to, like, do the, like, rehab part. So let's say you get in a car accident or else you sprain your ankle, you see us. But then we also take, like, additional courses for, like, cupping or dry needling or acupuncture. So, I mean, I guess, like, that's probably why we use them interchangeably, because most physios, even after they graduate, they continue to take, like, their, like, yeah, more courses, or what we call orthopedic division levels, which means we can kind of start to do, like, manipulation and get the joints moving a little bit more efficiently.
That's awesome.
So it doesn't just stop after school. I think a lot of people may not know that, actually.
Now, you've been in Canada your whole life, or have you lived other places?
I lived in Arkansas for 4 years.
That's so random.
I know, it's so random. Now when I say it out loud, I'm like, that is so crazy.
How did you end up in Arkansas?
So I played volleyball and I got a scholarship there.
Oh, sweet. What position did you play?
That's a good question, because my whole life I was always like an outside hitter, which is on the left side. And then one of our, like, she's from Germany. I don't know. I just have to describe her, because this is a kind of funny story. But anyway, think of a 6'5", tall, strong woman from Germany. So she gets injured. And then our coach looks down. He's like, okay, who's going to go and fill her position? And I, like, honestly, it was like in my head, like, no, like, you know. And then he, like, and it, like, normally I'm like a go-getter, like, yes, send me in. But, like, to follow her up was, that's tough. So then he, like, pointed at me. He's like, you. I was like, me? He's like, you go. And I ended up just, like, killing it in the middle. So now, ever since, like, I've been a middle hitter and never was until college, I guess. It's weird. Yeah.
How often do you play nowadays?
You know what? I've been playing almost every year. I think I only took, like, 1 year off, like, right after college. I just needed a break. But, like, I play rec, just like a women's league. But with COVID this year, we weren't able to play. So that's the only reason I didn't play this year.
That makes sense. Yeah. The only thing that can keep you away is a world shutdown. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, although I have driven past the courts and I still see some people playing, but now my shift is, like, my mindset is focused on football. I don't know. I'm kind of starting to appreciate pushing myself into, like, out of my comfort zone a bit more, you know, like not saying that volleyball isn't difficult anymore, but just something that's different. And because I'm definitely, like, not, like, I'm probably, like, the worst player on the field in the football team. So, but it's, like, it's good, right, to get that check again, like, all right, gotta work hard at this.
Absolutely.
And, yeah,
you know, it's interesting though, I feel like with football, because you're saying, just for clarification, you're saying football like we say football, not football, like soccer.
So yeah, not soccer.
I feel like football is one of those, like, random sports, one of the few sports where there's not really, like, a technical skill that you can improve on. Like volleyball, you can work on your strike or your setup or your, you know, your follow through. But it's like football is just like a catch and a run. It's such a simplistic sport, but there's so much to it, though. So it's, like, it's interesting.
I definitely didn't really realize how much there was actually to it until I started playing. And then I had a lot more respect for my fiance. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Because he used to be a safety. So I've been trying to get tips from him. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And do you play any rec sports?
So I tore my ACL, like, 4 or 5 years ago, and so I haven't really, my mind, I'm just like, I don't want to do it again, because, like, it would be hell in residency to tear my ACL. So I just
love it.
I've probably played basketball maybe 5 times since I tore it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just like, people are like, oh, let's go skiing. I'm like, I'm good. I just don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
I had, like, a bad recovery. I had some post-op complications, and, like, I had, like, a bad physical therapist. Like, we can talk about that too. Like, my
first one. We should talk about that. That's what made me want to be a physio, was a bad physio.
Right. And so, like, my first one, she was a little bit older, and I think she just didn't know the modern protocols. Like, I know this now, and it was, for example, you know, like, after an ACL, I think you have, like, 3 or 4 weeks to get the extension in your knee back, or else you'll never get it.
And one
of the things we never did early on was work on my knee extension.
Wow, you're kidding.
No, so, like, when I stand, my good knee goes to, like, probably, like, what is it? Probably, like, 195 degrees, whereas my bad knee probably goes to, like, barely 180.
No. So
that's really messed me up over the years. It's really like messed up my balance, messed up my like hips. So
yeah.
I'm constantly doing hip mobility and like stretching and getting adjusted just so my hips are even. Because when I stand, I realize
yeah.
my left leg is like hyperextended past 180 and my right is like barely at
yes.
180. So.
And you're so young. Like, yeah.
I know. So it's going to be something for life.
And I've seen others like that, like where they, or they were told like, oh, you don't need a physio yet. Like, so imagine them thinking that they're fine. They come in past that like 5-6 week mark. It's like, oh boy, you know? So it's definitely one of the challenges is like definitely post ACL is get that extension and get people moving, you know, like get them moving. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'd love to get your input on this. So one of the things I want to do down the road as a practitioner is I want to do like recovery protocol research. So what I mean by that is like, okay, there's like a standard kind of rehab protocol for ACL, for example.
Yes.
I want to kind of maximize that. Like there's got to be things we can do that should be standard care. And I think one of them, for example, would be, you know, surgery is already so expensive. So why not add on a couple hundred more dollars and just give every outpatient, every patient after surgery, like an E-stent machine to get that like quad firing.
Oh, yeah. Firing,
the TA following my Sartorius. Is still kind of like still not as big as my other, my left side is like still not even. And I hooked it up to the E-stem and that really helps it. But like, I didn't think about the E-stem when I first came out of surgery.
Yeah. And like, I was just going to ask, did they talk to you about that? Cause I mean, it really, I guess it also does depend on the patient if they're like eager to be like, is there anything else we can do? You know, like this is what you can do at home. Like, and we can even put like needles in and then attach stim to that. So definitely, I think like, at least for me, if I have someone coming in and I just find that they're not contracting properly, that's when I bring it up. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, why not just put that into a, like, so that doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah. Cause I mean, I remember being told just sit around when you're laying around for days and days at a time, just
always
try to fire your quad. They were like,
oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah. I like, thought you meant sit around.
Oh no, no. I just meant like when I'm at home, like try to fire your quad. I'm like, why don't I just hook it up to a machine and just get it firing, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I both works. Honestly, just like you moving your body though is always going to be the best. But if you could do that with the stim on, oh yeah, that's money.
Yeah, exactly. So there's stuff like that. That's a kind of my down the road plans, but
yeah, that would be really cool. You should send it my way and I could take a look at it. That'd be cool.
Get some cross the border collaboration stuff going.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'll send you that hip mobility that you can hand out to everyone too. Just kidding.
You're going to make me wait that long, huh? I got to get the training and everything first. Huh?
Good things take time. You got to progressive overload you first and then I'll give you that. Just kidding.
Exactly. And if you're good at something, never do it for free. So, you know.
I mean, I don't mind. I'll send it over to you. I just got to put it together. That's all. But that'd be awesome. I agree. I think it's just like, and so many doctors have different protocols, right? So, or different surgeons. So the main thing for me, the main takeaway for people is just that you need to get moving and it needs to be like, right? Like, so you don't stiffen up. And I think that's the biggest one after surgery, or even let's say if someone's casted, people always think, okay, well, like, let's say their ankle's casted. Well, it doesn't mean you can't do knee mobility or hip or your toes, right?
Oof,
so that's what I've been trying to like promote is you can keep moving. Like, you can't just sit on the couch. It's not okay.
Yeah, totally. Totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's funny. Well, let's see. We'll go back a bit. We were talking about kind of just kind of high school kid comes to you and he's like, hey, what can I do to get better? What are some lifts you would recommend for that person?
It depends. Like, so if he's like a beginner, like really, I would just get him. I wouldn't do like isolated groups right off the hop. I just want to see like him get an optimal movement pattern. So whether that's like a squat, right, or a deadlift, or just like basic movements that require whole body, or like a lunge. But a lunge again is like more single leg. So like, but you have to get them to be doing that kind of stuff and see where their stability is at. So honestly, like for me, I assess where they're at and then I kind of go from there. So it's not kind of just like a one size fits all, because what if you have someone that's already been lifting and has developed bad strategies but is strong? But typically I'd say, let's say beginner has never lifted, I would do probably like more of the functional based exercises, just building up that general strength, because if they don't have a ton of muscle, we need to build more muscle, right, so that they can get that stability, can get that strength, And then I would kind of target into like more isolated groups.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Making gotcha. It more, yeah. And we could make it, depends on their goal too. Like if he's like sport specific, right? So mm-hmm. if he just wants like hypertrophy where he just wants like big muscles, I mean, that changes everything. Like it would change the, like we could do as one rep max and then take like 85% of that and lift at that. But typically when you are a beginner, you want to start high set, high rep, mm-hmm. just to get that body, that neural drive, like making sure that your nerves are communicating to your muscles properly, that this is how to do the movement and properly. Like performing the movement with proper technique first is vital. And yeah. then we can load weight.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah, that's true too. The importance of a newbie coming in and learning like the foundation of form, it's way more important than anything else. But you know what's sad is like it's hard to tell a 16-year-old, hey, like take it easy now so you don't get hurt when you're 30. But like,
yeah, it's that's so very true. But this is the way I put it. I'll say, oh, like what are your goals? I always kind of that's how you find what motivates them. So let's say he's like, well, I want to play football or whatever, like Christy. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so exactly. he wants to play football. Okay, well, by doing this, it's going to make sure that you can keep playing football, you know, or like you're going to be able to throw strop further or run faster. So then it, like they understand more. It's like, okay, if I want to get there, I have to do this. Because if you just jump to it, it's like, okay, then you're going to end up on the sideline injured.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think I was, oh, go ahead.
No, please.
You go. Okay.
You go.
I think that I'm like pretty fortunate. I mean, I probably should have started lifting weights earlier than what I did because of like volleyball. Like I remember I was like 15 and people were like, you should be lifting. But I grew up in such a small town. Like we didn't have a gym there. And really, like I could have probably driven to the city, but that's like an hour in and then lifting an hour back. So honestly, I was like very, very newbie to lifting when I got to college. And like that was such a huge learning curve for me, and maybe it was good now that I'm a physio to have experienced that, because that's essentially what I did. Like I could barely push the 45-pound bar as a bench press, right? Like it's like crazy to think back to that day, but he just took me through functional movement patterns, and then we added just the bar, and I went through that. And actually, like as a newbie, you actually still have massive gains even if you're not loading it with a ton of resistance, because your muscles haven't been accustomed to any of those movements.
Oh man, those newbie gains are like the jam.
Oh, they're like the best. 6 months. Yes.
Yeah. I'm hoping I get those when I start back.
Yeah, you know, I felt that way a little bit with like after COVID. Of course, it's never going to be like the first time when you lift weights, but for sure, like I hope you get that.
Yeah, so the gyms just started opening back up in North Carolina. And so I think it might be time pretty soon.
Yep. Yeah. Like when, like last week, did they open up or?
I think within like the last like month or so, but I've just been so swamped that
yeah.
I was kind of like giving, plus I wanted to give it more time. I figured when they first opened, people would be like zombie mode, like walking in, you know?
So oh yeah.
Give it a little bit of time, just let the numbers die down. But yeah, I think it's going to be time soon. I'm just going like stir crazy.
Yeah, you just do it. Start tomorrow.
I might. I might have to get a 40-minute warm up for a 10-minute workout.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's something that, like, for myself at least, like that I felt was a positive upside from COVID, I guess, is that when I did go back, I was scared I was going to be so sore, and I feel like now I've developed better habits. So I definitely am spending way longer warming up, way longer doing like dynamic type stretches, and then I'm actually like not doing near as much cardio. I'm just kind of like getting really like slow controlled movements and lifts, and I'm, because nobody cares, like everyone's all starting out right now, like nobody cares if you have one plate on the leg press, right? So it's a great time to just like really go through your mechanics and make sure that you're doing things properly. And so I feel like that's one upside that I've seen in the gym since I've been back.
Yeah, that's true. And I didn't mean to cut you off. You said one, I think you said what I've been doing, I think is what you said.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah.
No, you're good.
No, I totally agree. It's, yeah, everyone's going to be like a New Year's resolutioner, but it's just like a post-COVID-er, basically, like everyone coming in has lost everything. So coming back
to the beginning. Yeah.
I remember when this kind of first happened, I saw this meme, and it was, imagine being that guy who just started taking steroids and the gym shuts down.
That's like, hilarious.
That had to have happened to at least one person, though.
You know? Oh, for sure. They were probably like lifting their like, have you seen those videos where people are like lifting their couches and stuff? Like, that's probably like the people that it was. They're like, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, some for sure. I mean, he's just like, cooped up at home, just pure rage. That's tough, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you can probably tell who. I won't even get into that. But anyway, it's just. Yeah, but the cool thing is, like, we're all beginning again, mostly. Like, I mean, I kept up with kind of home workouts, but again, like, it's not like we all have full set of gym, like a gym at home. So everyone's kind of, like, in the same position, which is kind of, like, makes it cool. You know, we're all at the same level, kind of. So yeah. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
I do have one friend who, like, as soon as it started, like, reports started coming, he just went and bought like an entire home gym. So all of COVID, he was just getting it in. I would go to his house whenever I could, but it was like, I only got there like three times, you know, because we lived like two or three hours apart. So I was like, I only got there like two or three times. So
yeah. I'm not going to lie. I may have been like, I didn't get a full gym, but I was totally that person that kind of did that. And I feel bad because it's like everyone wanted equipment. And I said to my fiance, I think this is going to get crazy. He's like, if you really think it, let's go. And we got like an Olympic bar and plates. So that was like a lifesaver for me for sure. Like, kept my sanity.
That's a smart move. Yeah. I mean, he got like a rack. He got like a lat pull down machine.
Oh, what?
And, yeah. He had like a full dumbbell set and everything.
Wow.
He was like, screw it. I'm just pulling the trigger because like, the shit's going to be so much more expensive when everything comes back up. So.
And did he actually like work out every day is the question.
Oh yeah. He got good results from that home gym.
Right on.
And he's one of those like, is it endomorph where it's like you're high caloric, you burn calories really easily.
Yeah. That's my fiance.
Yeah.
It might be ecto. I can't remember
I can't remember either, but he was like the really skinny one in high school and then he found weights and then now, so he's super lean. But he also like is like big. He's so annoying. He's like
it is annoying. Like tonight, my fiance gets like a Dairy Queen Blizzard, and he's still jacked. It's like what?
That's so annoying.
It is, but you know what? I feel good because it makes me self disciplined. You know, I'm like okay. Like I trust me. I have my Blizzard. I just don't do it like all the time.
that friend, he did one of those like metabolic tests, and basically the test results showed that if he were to just in theory sit around for 24 hours straight. He would still burn like I think 2,800 calories or 3,200 calories.
No,
his metabolism is just so high. So imagine like what it does when he actually works out. I mean, he's so annoying. So like
that is annoying.
I'm definitely a mesomorph. Like I'm right in the middle for sure. So like if I work out hard, I can get really good visual results. But if I let go, I'm gonna go. So
yeah. I feel the same. It's like it's either really good one or the other way. So it's like I have to like stay on top. Whatever. If I'm choosing to gain weight, just go for it. Or if I'm going to get muscle, just go for it.
That's what I did for a bit. Like as soon as residency started, I was like, yeah, I'm going to make sure I work out like regularly. And it's just hard.
Yeah.
Like
I probably
3 days a week. And then I try to do yoga 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
It's just like my schedule right now is hectic. So I'm not working out as much as I want. But I'm going to.
Yeah.
I have to tighten up. I have to.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, though, that you still, like, honestly, that still sounds, like, pretty good, like, three and then two, and, but, yeah, totally, I mean, I want you to move more, but, like, I, like, in physio school, I feel like I totally dropped off, like, with workouts altogether. It was just, like, which isn't healthy at all. Like, I think it's so good that you're able to still keep that in, and why do you feel like you were able to do that still? Like, what strategy did you use?
Well, I think, so I got like an assault air bike for graduation from med school and I had
in
my living room, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's no excuse to not just do like a 4 minute Tabata, you know?
Yeah.
So I come home, I'm like, God, I'm so tired. I just want to eat. But I'm like, okay, 4 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, get on the bike for 4 minutes.
Yes.
So, and it's like that alone has helped a lot me. Cause I, you know, I've been drinking a few brewskis here and there too, you know, so it's definitely helped even that out a little bit.
Just go on the bike while you're drinking a brewski. I'm just teasing.
If it weren't the air bike, you know how those are. Those are just death. Like I almost puke every time I do a Tabata on that thing. So.
Oh, for sure. There's no way. You have to have two hands on the handles.
Yeah. And like, if it was like a Peloton though, I'd probably just be drinking while I did the Peloton. But
our neighbors have the Peloton bike and they do so well. Like they're like marathoners and they're just so Anyway, they motivate us. Like, it's so funny what neighbors can do, you know? Like, you have, like, your active neighbors, and you see them, and you're like, hey, now I got to get out there. So, anyway, the bike is the way to go, for sure.
Absolutely. You know what's annoying, though, is, like, half of my co-residents are all, like, long-distance runners. One of them does, like, super marathons regularly.
And, what?
Yeah, but it's, like, so none of them want to work out with me. I'm like, I need a Metcon partner or something, and they just want to run. I'm like, I'm not going to go run 6 miles. I'm just not going to do that.
Totally.
No, I refuse.
Yeah, your knee would just like lose it on you with that loss of extension and be like burning up. No.
That's so true. And like, I ran a lot during quarantine, but it would be like part of the workout. So it'd be like, one of my capstone workouts that I made for myself was 4 rounds. You do, 400 meter run and then 50 double unders for time, and that's kind of like my capstone. Sweet. So I would do it once a month and see like what my time was and see if I was progressing. Yeah. And it's cool because it's a skill with the double under, so you can murder your time if you don't practice the skill itself, or you can just crap out from fatigue. So it's kind of a really cool capstone. So I like
that. Is cool. Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, like I do think if you really like, let's say your goal was to run, like you're like, no, Chris, I want to run now, I do feel like that is something you could still do, but it sounds like you're just not there yet. Like, you're like, no, it's not worth the risk for your knee. But if you do, again, like progressively overload or progressively increase your runs, like it is something you could do.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So, you know, where I'm in the mountains now and
pretty.
It's super hilly. And so my calves have blown up from like walking my dog. And just like short runs. Oh, it's awesome.
There's nothing better than like, a hill run that's like short, like a 7K. Oh, I'm jealous. We just went to Tofino. So that's like in West Canada, like in British Columbia. And we saw like mountains. And like, if I could live anywhere and just like, that would be the activity I would do every day. I'd do a little bit of weightlifting and then go for like a hike. It'd be perfect.
Where are you now?
I'm in Saskatchewan, so we're really, really flat prairies. We got farms and we've got more than that, but like it's pretty flat here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're above like North Dakota, if that helps.
I'm so bad at geography. I'm like, I can kind of picture North Dakota, but not really.
Yeah.
I'm so,
yeah.
I don't know.
You're good. You're good. Just think of like the center, but a little bit west of Canada.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you been there?
Oh, like my whole life, I guess, other than when I moved to Arkansas there for like the 4 years. But yeah, the only thing, I love Canada, but it's the winters. Like I got to find a winter sport, I think, because yeah, like they're tough. They're tough here.
Just ice climbing, not rock climbing, but just ice climbing.
Ooh, okay. I actually have a friend who was just chatting. That's funny. She's on my football team and she said that she does that, but I don't know if that's for me. Like I just feel like, you know, those shoes with the spikes. Like that would somehow end up in my calf or who knows, God. Like, I don't know. I'm like clumsy that way. And that's partly why everyone jokes I became a physio. They're like, you're always getting hurt like silly ways. So but I was thinking more like cross country skiing, which is kind of a little more like chill. But typically I snowboard, but now no one really my age snowboards. So it's like, I know it's kind of like your thing where you said that you lift and they run. Well, my friends kind of like, they don't snowboard anymore. So I'm trying to find a sport that I can like recruit more people, you know, but
if I ever come visit in that town and when we link up, will you show me how to teach me how to snowboard?
100%. Yes.
I've always wanted to learn how to snowboard.
Oh, and you would pick up on it. Like people think it's harder than it is. It's just like one day of like it sucking and then the next day you'll be better. That's all.
That sounds like a plan. So I'll make it.
Yeah.
When I make it out there, I want to come see Canada. I've always heard cool things about Vancouver. I've always heard cool things about Toronto, obviously. And then,
yes.
Just like,
and then now Tofino.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care. I'll do a Canada tour. I got no issue with that. That'd be sweet.
But yeah, definitely if you're going to snowboard, I'd recommend like Whistler or something like that. It's just like pure powder. Like it's, well, have you skied before?
Never done either.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Someone, and then a girlfriend of mine, because it's funny. I just had this conversation with her today too. I said, let's get a new winter sport. Like I'm getting bored during winter. And she said, there's like, well, I'm sure you know kite surfing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently people are doing that on the snow here.
Interesting. I feel like
that would
be real bad getting slammed onto the snow though.
Yeah. You know what, now that I say it out loud, it's probably worse than like the glacier climbing or the ice climbing you mentioned, now that I say it out loud. Yeah.
I'd rather glacier climb than do kite surfing and windsurfing on snow.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of it. But I mean, if it's like kind of powdery, it might be. Yeah, no. Yeah, probably the climb. See, there's a lot of options, I guess, here. There are some options in winter.
And there's also all the indoor options. Like you could do tennis, racquetball, or even like spike ball, like we talked about on the phone.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, finally started playing that more this summer because I found we are hanging with another couple and they're pretty good at it. But definitely, like, we are not good. It's funny that we own it and we're terrible, but that's just motivation right there.
Dude, spike ball is such a fun game.
Are you good? Are you good at it?
I don't know. I'm okay. I'm athletic in my own way. So, I mean, you know, I played multiple sports and I work out. Yeah. Like, I guess, but I'm pretty good. It's fun.
Okay, so you can fun. Like, I was like, just say you're good. We can all tell that you're good. I'm just teasing.
I played a lot. It was fun.
So like you're that person that can stand really far away from the net and still like kill it.
I'm pretty accurate. Yeah.
Oh man, I'm jealous. Okay. That's going to be my goal for next summer then. Can you tell that I'm a goals person?
I like that. See, it's fun because you can set things for yourself. You can kind of just throw them into the atmosphere and then they'll come back around when you knock it out. You're like, boom, done, did that.
Yes, totally. And I probably do it too much because people are always like, oh, what? You just made that goal and now you want this. But that's like what drives me is like, I don't know. I've always played team sports, so my mindset had to kind of shift now that it's me. But I definitely, yeah, I'm always like competing with myself, but I think that's good. It's like, I know I get bored easy too.
What are some of your goals within physiotherapy?
Ooh, like my career? Like where I want to go with it?
Yeah. Like.
I probably want to continue my orthopedic level. So that means like doing more manipulations and kind of more hands-on treatment that way. So just like better understanding of the body and the biomechanics. I do have an interest in like vestibular work, so that has to do with like balance and stuff like that. Trying to think if there's anything else. Honestly, I just want to take some more courses. I'm feeling a little like I'm missing out on that right now because of COVID. There's like a lack of that hands-on education right now. I don't know if I lost you here. Can't hear you.
I thought you're still going. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's good. It just gets really quiet, so I was like, oh, okay. But no, that's where I want to go. Oh no, that's good. That's good. But totally, I just want to keep learning, right? Like I don't want to. One more. It's probably like gait analysis, like so running. Like really want to break it down. Like I think there's so much. Like all of the sports are based. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them off running, right? So I think I could really learn a lot from that. I don't know.
Gait analysis is super. That's super interesting topic because there's so. All you have to do is watch like a 30-second video of someone walking and running, and then boom, you have weeks and weeks of exercises to do with them.
Yes.
So cool. Yeah.
That's actually what I love to do with my patients now is I obviously with their consent, but I do a lot of videoing now versus when I first started is I just find it's just so much better, right? To be like, hey, did you know you're dropping your hip? And they're like, no, I'm not. Like, well, look. And then you teach them, right? So then they get motivated to do it. But definitely like running, you can just tell like so easy. And there's super cool programs now that show all the lines on a graph. And yeah, I'm really motivated to like learn more about that. Even for like my own run too. Like that'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure. That's like those, I forget what they're called. It's like a squat mat. And it's basically you measure it out. It comes like personalized for you based on your like hip width and everything else. And it basically has like markings for you to look at your feet, and when you land, like say you do a clean and jerk, and when you land, you're like, okay, you step off and it has the imprint, and you're like, oh wow, my feet were, one was in front of the other, one was like externally rotated, and it's really cool. That's like a really good cue to kind of tighten your form
up. How amazing would that be for like even just like let's say volleyball, like how many times I would be practicing an approach and they're like, you're landing on one foot or you're landing, and it's like, I don't know, it would just be really useful for sure, because so much of it is like how you jump and like, exactly what you said, but just for a sport would be cool too.
That would be cool. So it's like looking at, okay, we need you to land, you know, you're taking off from here, but you're not landing, here, meaning your trajectory is off. So we need you to land here. And you're like, well, how do I do that? You're like, oh, forward, move it more. It's just, that would be such a cool analytical tool.
Oh, totally.
Process. Yeah.
So much of like, even now that like thinking back to like when they were coaching is really they're teaching biomechanics. If you think about it, like they're teaching your approach, where your hand should be, what's most efficient, how to jump. Like it's really kind of a breakdown of the biomechanics of the body. So yeah, the more we can get like physio into sport, I know there is already like a lot of physios with sports, but like even just breaking it down further, that's like the stuff I love. Like I actually always thought I would work like alongside a team, but I don't know, like I'm really happy in the area I'm in because anyone can be an athlete, right? Like you can have 50-year-old Joe coming in, he wants to do an ultra marathon, or, you know, the 20-year-old who just started playing volleyball. So like, I do love my job, but I actually went into it thinking I was going to be like travel with a sports team, which is funny.
Yeah, no, it's cool though. So now you're doing kind of, you're doing outpatient stuff for sure. But you're doing mostly just like sports rehab, correct?
Not necessarily. Like we have some ortho, we have some post-op. It's kind of like I even had someone that was vestibular. So like their balance or concussion. It's, I mean, we like it's private practice. So like, but it is mostly like as you would consider it outpatient. Yeah. But it's like a lot of MSK. But like randomly I'll get like a cardio arrest patient even. So like, let's say that they're, I don't know, they have a lot of crackles and they're not breathing well, or, and you got to teach them how to do that. And so it's actually kind of cool how much I guess I didn't think we'd need from school, but I actually do apply it in an outpatient setting.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah, that's like the dream right there. You're talking my language.
So where do you want to end up? Because you said inpatient isn't for you.
Inpatient is not for me. So I'm doing family medicine right now. That's 3 years. And then I'm going to do a 1 year sports medicine fellowship.
Yeah.
And
cool.
My plan, like I was talking about earlier, is kind of that research. I also want to do concussion research.
Yes.
And yeah. And just like sports performance. I think sports performance, sports rehab, and then concussions are kind of like, that's my calling, I think so.
Yeah. Concussion is huge right now. Like it's taken even so long. Like I went to a symposium last year on concussions, and it's like, even in like different provinces in Canada, they still don't have like a lot of regulations based on like when you can return to play, which is blows my mind. Like there's so much knowledge and education out there on like how damaging concussions are, but yet we don't have like the laws in every province. So I don't know about the states, but it's been taking some time even in Canada.
No, it's very non-uniform, I'll say. Like even
city, yes, city, that's a good way,
might be different. It's interesting too, but it's like, it's sad if you think about it. Here's like this 15-year-old kid or 17-year-old kid, their senior year of high school, they get a concussion, and you're like, hey, you're going to have to miss half your season for your own health. And they're like, dude, I just want to play. But like, the long-term damage is just so, it's terrifying how much a concussion damages your brain. And like, I know kids who've had 3 or 4 concussions who are like my buddies, and they're just different. You know, they're not themselves.
Well, it's like brain injury. Like that's what's so like, I just wish it would have been taken more seriously. Like even 10 years ago, I think we would be at a different place, but really we didn't really have that knowledge until as of late in the evidence. So, but what made you interested in concussions?
I think it's just, you know, it's almost any sport. I mean, you could be playing spike ball, you could be playing racquetball, volleyball, basketball, lacrosse, football, and boom, concussion. And I think research in concussions would be one of the most beneficial things in any sport, just about, especially at a competitive level, because it can happen in almost any sport. Maybe not golf or, you know, something like that.
Well, I never know, but
exactly. It's still, it could happen in golf. I mean, you just never know. And I think having kind of a uniform platform to look or approach in which to look at concussions would be super important. So I think it'll be interesting though, because it's such a diverse approach. You're going to have neurologists, neurosurgeons, sports medicine, things like that, all approaching it. And I think that's kind of why I'm so interested in it.
Yeah. Well, we definitely could use more evidence practice on it. So that's awesome. I think you're right. Like it's very widespread for every sport. So, or like even a motor vehicle accident, right? Like how often I see people that have concussions from their accident too. So.
Yeah, and just weird stuff too. Like you're a factory worker and there's an explosion. Boom, you got a concussion.
Yes.
You know, and now you're dealing with that. And like, I had a friend actually who's dealing with that right now. She had a car wreck. And
oh no.
She's had like just TBI and everything from that. And it's sad. And they're like, wow, yes. It's just a car wreck. Like, you don't even get the glory of like hitting someone hard on the field and getting a concussion. You just drove down the street and got, you know, it's
yes. Sucks. And the other worst part, well, I think that's worse, is when it's like an invisible injury, right? Like, you can't see that someone's struggling with these post-concussive symptoms, like bright lights or like loud noises, fragrances, you name it. So it's like, it's definitely the biggest thing I see my patients struggle with, is they're like, people think I'm like fine and like physically their range of motion and their strength has come back in their neck and their back, but they still just, the brain is just needs that time to like recover. It's just like, I hate watching it. I just feel like so bad. I just want to fix it, you know, but it's just patience, you know, and then like, and again, gradual progression back into like, really, if you think about it, though, like exposure back into bright lights and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. The invisible injury part, that's such, I've heard that before, but it's such a good way to put it. And those are the ones that don't get as much sympathy, and they need sympathy. You know, you need to be understanding with that person, but someone who's in a cast, you're like, oh, I'll hold the door for you. But someone with a concussion, you're like, dude, I just told you that. You know,
that's so true. It's like, I think it depends on the person too. Like, some people don't like want anyone to know that they're injured. Like, but then some people want everybody to know, you know? So I don't know. I guess it always, and that's why I try to like, when someone walks in through the door, I try to really change my treatment plan according to that individual. Like, do they need me to just like listen to like what's hurting, and maybe that's what they need, is just like to tell me about their aches and pains. Or some people don't tell you at all, and then you kind of have to like objectively like check them out all the time, you know. So that's what I really love about physio, is it really forces you to make that bond with your patient so that you can get them better faster, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I think they're not going to trust you if you don't have that connection.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So I usually try to get a little bit of information on just like training and stuff for you.
We've
kind of just been talking naturally, which is awesome. But I do want to hear about kind of what was physio school like for you?
The MPT program, like the
what was it like getting in, what was the process, and you know, just learning everything, kind of just talk about that if you don't mind.
The process is like, I mean, it is like hard. I would say they broke it down to like, you only 100 get accepted, and then after that only 40 get picked, so the interview process is kind of like intensive, I would say. I definitely like, I mean, it was me and another friend that like practiced for it. I felt like I'm an organized person, but like my friend is very like ultra organized. So I do credit my friend Ainsley for getting me to practice with her, a lot. But so what you had to do is like, let's say they have a question on the door and then you have to enter and you only have like a minute or so to read the question. Then you have to be ready to talk about that for, it's been 5 years now, but I want to say it was 8 minutes, maybe longer, but no, like if anyone is thinking of considering into applying to physio, just know like you may not always get in your first try. Like I know some people it took like 3 or 4 tries, but definitely you got to prep. Like there's no way you can just kind of walk in and think you're golden. But I heard they might be changing questions a bit more, like maybe just making it less like just trying to get to know the person more versus like their knowledge set, if that makes sense. Cause what we're finding is they want personal people, exactly what we were just kind of talking about. Right. So you want someone who's going to be able to communicate to the patient what they need to do, because you can have all the brain and smarts in the world, but if you can't apply that and communicate that to your patient, then that's going to be, it's going to be a tough career path for you. So anyway, so long story, sorry, I keep going off.
Absolutely. That's totally fine.
But yeah, so the interview process is intensive. Like, so you're doing multiple stations and it's like timed. And so that part, like, I mean, it was a lot. Like every time I just walk in, I'd be like, I'm just take a sip of water and like calm myself down and then go into it. But yeah, so then only 40 people get picked. And then, I don't know, from there, it's kind of like a bit of a whirlwind. I mean, it's a blast, but it's also like a lot of work. So compared to like undergrad, like, of course I studied and stuff, but physio, it was like, you go to school all day. It's like maybe like 8 to 4 or 8 to 5, but in like, you don't go home. Like you just like, you stay at school and you study, you know, till like 10 at night, maybe later. Like obviously you take breaks, but I don't know. It was, I didn't expect that, I guess, or I just didn't understand to what level. Like it was a lot of sitting. Like that's what just like right? Like, that's the tough part is, like, actually, we did a test, like, on the students, and we had them wear accelerometers, because I don't think we had that on our phone yet, like, where it could track your steps and stuff. But anyway, so it would track your steps, and it went from, like, everyone was, like, very active people at the beginning of the program, and we all, like, plummeted. There was, like, I want to say there was only, like, 5 to 8% of the people in the class who, like, kept their actual same routine. Wow. Which is, like, pretty crazy. So I guess, like, I would just say it is intensive. It's hard to get into, but it's totally worth it. You're all in it together. You get really close with your classmates. And it's just, like, a lot of hands-on learning. I don't know about, like, other programs, but, like, I went to the University of Saskatchewan. And what I really loved, it was, like, very MSK-based. So, like, a lot of, like, practical skills, hands-on practice. I mean, I love that stuff, so.
Of course, yeah, same.
Yeah, cool.
So what is kind of the day-to-day? I know it's like a couple years, several years long, but like if you could summarize, what would like an average kind of week look like for you in school?
In school? Oh, man. Okay, like in terms of study hours?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's like, in terms of study hours or?
Yeah, like study hours and what kind of what you did. Were you, was it mostly studying? Was it more, you know, in the lab working with, you know, hands-on
stuff?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I would say like the first year really varies from the second year. Like the first year is definitely like more in class, versus like clinical placements. But like at our program, they did get you doing a few clinical placements, which means like they'd like maybe send you to, well, a few would be like more so in a different province, but let's say like I went to Halifax at one point, or like, but it was mostly like rural towns to start out with. So like, let's say Prince Albert, they sent me to, and I'd have like a 3 or 4 week placement there. And then they'd send you back and then we'd learn more hands-on. So I like that. Cause then again, it kind of just adjusted you to it. But if I get more specific day to day, it was honestly like exactly what I said. Like like some people said they didn't study as many hours. I mean, I disagree. Like the people who said they didn't study till like stay at the school till 10, I would see them in a different library. And I was like, okay, yeah, like we're all studying like for hours on end. But I would say Monday to Friday is like, let's say I had classes 8 to 3 and then like 3 to 5 is a lab. So like maybe we'd work with cadavers. So there was some work with cadavers doing like anatomy. And that was kind of interesting. Like I kind of struggled with it at first. I don't know. But once you wrap your head around it and that it's going to help you learn and then it worked. But I would say it consisted of hands-on, in class, like 50-50, maybe more in class at the beginning, actually. And then lab work, maybe at the end of the day, like 2 or 3 days a week. I mean, this is kind of my memory, right? Right from like it could have changed from 5 years ago. But and then second year, it was like clinical placement, placement, study, study, study in class, and then like a ton of placements, which again, like that to me is like, oh, I loved it. Cause then let's say I would be doing inpatient or I did neuro or cardio resp, and you just get to really see what avenues physios all, you know, all can do. I'm sure like that's exactly what you're doing right now. So.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to backtrack. What was it about cadaver lab that kind of gave you headaches or gave you struggle?
I'm just like, I've never been a person that's like good with blood and like, I don't know, like I remember growing up, my dad's like, you should be a doctor or a dentist. And I was like, oh, like I'm going to pass out if I see blood or, you know, like I'm good with like external like muscles. And so when I learned we're going to do cadaver work, I was just like, oh man, like I'm going to faint. Like, but it's a lot of it for me, it was my mindset. I was like, this is going to help patients and I have to be able to like feel the muscles and see where the nerves run. And honestly, even till today, I still try to like picture that when I'm palpating or feeling muscles, then you have a way better understanding. So, I mean, it definitely made me uncomfortable. But again, like I said earlier, it's good to put yourself, you know, out of your comfort zone so that you can improve.
Totally agree. Totally agree. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, you know, PT school sounds a lot like medical school where it's like it sucks, but you make good friends and you're grinding and people are lying about how much they're working. So
it sounds... Oh, yeah. It's totally a grind. It's a grind. Like, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I like the people who were top of our class. I'd say I'm like was middle to top, but like the people who are like the ultimate top of our class, like even they were like they were there for full hours. Like it was a grind for sure. But it was like, you know, when you like, let's say you have the hardest game of your life. Like for me, of course, I think volleyball. the hardest game of your life, and then you finish, and let's just say we win the game. It's all worth the grind, right? Because then it wouldn't be as rewarding to me. So to me, it's totally worth the grind.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like even the people who were at the bottom of the class, they're still spending several hours in the library. You know what I mean?
100%.
There's no way. Otherwise, you're just going to get kicked out. But that,
yes.
It is. You're absolutely right. It's like a game. You worked hard. You fought the opponent. The opponent this time is grad school instead of another player. But yeah, it's like you fought and you won. You didn't let it beat you, which is so easy to do. It's so easy to be like, well, I'll just give up or I'll just mess around. And
totally.
Yeah, it's easy to do that. That's the thing. It's like it's easy to give up. It's hard to keep pushing through torment, which I call.
Torment. I think for me, the hardest part is I'm like a slight perfectionist with something. So like, I feel like I wasn't getting perfect grades anymore. And that was like, that first year was a struggle for me to like let go of the grade, you know, to like focus on what's going to make you a better practitioner. Because ultimately, you're not going to be able to absorb all of that knowledge. You just have to try to absorb what you feel is going to apply to you as a practitioner or a doctor such as yourself, right? Like, I'm sure you can agree with me. You're not going to be able to take in everything. So once I accepted that, I just felt like I relaxed and I really enjoyed the process a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's those random freaks in your class who know everything, but in general.
Oh, yeah.
You'll pick stuff up and then you'll utilize it and then you'll get better and better and better.
Yeah.
And you'll kind of just build the tools you need within your own practice. But yeah, there's those freak shows that know everything and they're the worst.
Oh, yeah. I told my fiance a while ago, I said, well, you just make friends with those, like the freaks. Like that's who your friend is. Like, yeah.
That's true.
So, yeah.
My girlfriend just started PT school. And so she's already like,
cool.
I think this week, my days are running together, but
yeah,
she's like got her first anatomy exam coming up. And I'm like, oh, that's so cute.
Oh, it is cute. Oh, like, this is such a fun stage.
Yeah. I remember those days. And I'm like, man, I wish I could go back now.
And now that I'm telling you it's a grind, you're going to not give her such a hard time in the future, right?
Probably. I'll still give her a hard time. That's like all I do.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. You got to make it hard a little bit.
Yeah.
Motivate. It's like motivation in a good way.
Exactly. I've helped her a little bit with like just landmarks and just mnemonics and things I've picked up along the way.
Yeah.
She's been like, wow, why did they just teach us that? And like, you know, I always wondered that. Why don't professors just teach you the good stuff, you know? Like,
yes, totally. Actually, yeah, that's probably the best thing you can do for her is just be like the model. So I'm sure you'll have to in the future. Like, you just sit there and she's going to learn how, like, you know, how to mobilize your shoulder and you're going to get a ton of free treatment. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, I'm so excited for that. That's the dream right there. I can't wait.
Well, for sure. Like she'll be fixing your hip here in like a few months. Actually, probably less than that.
Oh yeah. How,
depending on her program, I guess.
That is the plan. That's like all this time I pushed her down that route just for the selfish reason. You know, that was it.
You're like my ACL. You better go into physio.
Like, oh, you know how cool it'd be if you went to PT school.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Yeah. You should do that.
Yeah, my fiance has a bad back from football, so we always joke that that's why he wanted to date me. But there's other reasons. But it definitely, it's funny because you'd think that like I would treat him more, but he's like, no, you had a long work day, like I don't want that. But I asked the other physios, and they said almost all of their husbands and significant others say the same thing, like no. So I don't know, like hey, like I'd offer free treatment, but take it while you can.
See, he's playing the long game. He's waiting till he actually like locks it down officially, and then he's gonna be like, "Ah, oh, I need my back, babe, my back, my leg."
You know, yeah,
he doesn't want to scare you away prematurely, you know.
Oh my word, you're totally right. Yeah. So once we get married next year, then I'm gonna be like, "All right, I'm waiting for this oh, bomb."
Yeah. Oh yeah. See, I know how to think like a guy. Unfortunately, you know, he's playing the long game.
Okay, totally. I don't know. I didn't think of that. He's totally a long game player for sure.
He's gonna be like, "Dude, shut up."
Totally. That's so cool that she's in PT school. And honestly, just tell her to like really enjoy the friendships. And the beginning is so much fun, right? You're like getting to know each other. And I mean, you get to know each other fast too, right? Because you're like always in like spandex and like your sports bra and just like everyone's touching everyone. It's like, I mean, you got to become friends fast, put it that way.
That's so true. Yeah. That's so true. I forgot about that from first and second year where you're in cadaver lab, then you're in histo lab, and then you're in manipulation lab. And it's like,
yeah.
gown and then scrubs and then shorts and a t-shirt or sports bra and like no shirt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And then people don't know how to drape properly. Like so many issues there, but it's funny.
Next thing you know, you're laying there with your leg up in the air and you're wearing boxers.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
Not good.
Yeah. Not good.
That's hilarious. So dude, we've been talking for an hour. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. Yeah, you're right. This just chill convo. It's awesome.
Well, I'm glad it has been chill. So I think, how about I ask you the wrap-up questions and we maybe get you out of here? All right.
Sounds good.
Sweet. So I like to ask these four questions to every guest and you can take as much time as you need and flush them out however you want and we'll go from there. So
the first
question is, has practicing physiotherapy been what you expected?
Yes and no. Yes, in terms of like what I expected to be doing like on a daily basis. No, because I didn't think I would love it this much. Like I knew that I enjoyed sports and enjoyed movement and that stuff. But honestly, especially when COVID happened, it really, I don't know, it hit me like how much I just love like that connection with people. Like whether it's like seeing someone through their journey from like when they first hurt their ACL, like what you said, and to seeing them run again. Like I knew I liked my job and loved it. I just didn't know to what extent. Like that's why I made that like the Instagram page, is because I just missed it so much and I just love motivating other people and they motivate me right back, right? So I'd say I guess my expectations of how much I'd love it have surprised me. Like it's really cool. Like I feel really blessed to like wake up every day excited to like go to work.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's so good to hear too. And you know, I was thinking, you said something that reminded me of this. We talked about that poor guy who took steroids and then the gym shut down. I think more unfortunate would be like you just had ACL surgery or shoulder surgery and you need physical therapy and then you have no access to it. That's terrifying.
That's terrifying. Yeah. And that was my buddy, like that almost, I mean, not ACL, but like a tear. And like, that would be terrifying. But that's what's kind of also cool, because that's what I think healthcare is shifting a bit. I think that we, like for our clinic, we started doing telehealth then, right? So offering online treatment. And I just thought it's pretty amazing that it just basically forces healthcare to advance. You know, it just... Mm-hmm. You have to do it a little quicker. And that's kind of where a lot of, I don't know, healthcare and everything is going online. Not that I think that that's what's better, but I definitely think it made people realize that they can get better through like telehealth and online treatments.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But you're right. That would be really terrifying.
Yeah. And so I didn't mean to go off track, but that's just one of those thoughts I had. And I'm glad that you were able to still, you know, help patients and also, you know, kind of motivate yourself through that time. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
So, the next question is, what are our keys to success in physiotherapy?
Like in general, like in school or as a practitioner now?
Let's go with as a practitioner.
Okay. The keys, can you read it again?
Yeah. So in your opinion, what are the keys to success as a physiotherapist?
I think always be ready to learn and like be open to learning, whether no matter like what stage you are in as a physio. So if I'm a new practitioner, like be willing to take that knowledge in from the more experienced physios, or vice versa. If I become more an experienced physio, utilize that knowledge coming in from the new physios. I do feel like we are doing that, but I feel like it could even be done more. And I remember as a new practitioner, I was very just nervous, you know, like scared to like ask questions. And I think that like I was ready to learn, but I wasn't ready to like put myself out there as much. And I think that the physios who are continuous learners, they're very, very successful. And then the ones that also push theories, right? So let's say, like, I remember for the longest time, people are like, you can't do your knee over your toes. And like everything is starting to get pushed. Like all these myths are being busted and like proven wrong. And so the successful people are the people who just keep learning. Like keep learning. And then the second one, I guess, would be connection. So kind of like we talked about, I find if you don't know your patient and you don't know what their goal is, then good luck getting them better. Like I feel like that to me, that's where I feel like I'm good at. And I just want to keep expanding on my knowledge base, like with my education. But I think that's my favorite part, right? It's just like, you want to be their number one, you know, like kind of like their coach, and you just kind of guide them. So instead of like them coming in 3 days a week, you want to get rid of them. Like you want them to get independent, right?
Yeah, anyway. That's true. No, I totally agree. That's awesome. And I you know better than I do. You're the practitioner. I'm still in training, so.
You're close though. But in my opinion, like this, the more that you can teach, even in like in your field, the more that you can educate them so that they can be independent, the better. Mm-hmm. 1,000 times. And that's for like any career, right? Like you don't want people depending on you. Like they have to be the ones that want to change, and they have to be motivated on their own.
Yeah. And you know, I think that's the, one of the beauties of the particular field, like sports in general, is 99% of the patients, if not 100%, want to get better. It's not like
yes.
managing diabetes, managing blood pressure, yeah. managing lipids, where it's like, most people aren't going to not eat bacon anymore. They're not going to stop eating cake. You know, where yes. like, if you tell someone, hey, like don't jump for 3 weeks or else you'll never jump again. People aren't going to jump. You
know? Well, they better not jump.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially if that's like their livelihood. And it depends. Them not jumping for 3 weeks means they can go play in four. They're going to listen yes. to you. So
yeah, that's so yeah. true. But then yeah. let's say that person who is diabetic, then yeah, that's the challenge, right? That like to me, that's what makes my job exciting, or your job, in my opinion, would be that's the challenge, right? Is you gotta find a way for them to get educated and to want to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every now and then you get through to someone, you're like, hey, listen, like,
yeah.
if you don't stop, you're going to lose your foot. And they're like, oh, okay, I'm going to make a change. You know, it's like, sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually do it. I love that too.
It's me just, too.
Those are rare, unfortunately, outside yeah, of sports.
They of sports, are rare.
Super rare.
Yeah. And it's also rare to get like the person who just like gets better. So like, you know, like sometimes it's just like, they listen to everything you say, they get better within the right timeline. And it's just like, wow, that was easy. But usually rehab isn't linear. Like it's like up, down, up, down. But then again, like that's what makes it challenging. Cause like some weeks I'll be like, oh man, like, are they doing better? And like, I always think about people on the side, like after work too. I'm like, oh, next time we'll do this. And, but it just keeps you, I don't know. I like a challenge, you know? So I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like you were saying, like, I'm thinking, oh, what can I do for this person later? I think that's when you know you have a job that you like, or that's,
yeah,
that's
a good point.
You, is when you can go home and it's a pleasure to still think about the job. It's not like, oh God, did I forget this? Or, oh God, I don't want to do this. It's like, that's not where I am now. It's more just, I know this isn't what I want to do. So it gets, whenever I'm just really bogged down and I'm dying, I just get frustrated because I'm like, this is even my future, but it is what it is right now. But
that's a good point.
Yeah, and you're loving it, and you're thinking about it 24/7, and it's constructive to think about it. That's really cool.
I mean, obviously everyone needs a break. So like before we took off for holidays, I definitely was feeling like, I don't know, you get really busy if you have too many people going on, and you want to make sure that you're giving them each as much individualized planning and exercise prescription as possible. So everyone I'm definitely not always on like that, but you're right. It definitely shows, like I'll be like at the gym doing work and I'm like, oh, like, this is what I could do for their knee, like this, you know, so it is kind of cool. I never thought of it that way. But yeah, maybe I think about it too much. I don't know.
No, definitely. You can never think about like things you love too much. So that's pretty cool. So
yeah, like passion, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's your passion, it's your drive, and what is that saying? It's like, you're never really working if you're doing what you love. So
yeah, I love that saying.
Yeah. And it's a cliche people say, but like cliches come from fact, you know, it's like that, that's so true, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So yeah. The next question is, looking back to like maybe current students right now, what would be your advice to them?
To students, I would say, again, kind of like how I said that first year kind of threw me for a loop, I just expect to be stressed out. And just to kind of accept it. I mean, it's so much easier for me to say that now, but just accept that you're going to be stressed and just know that you're all in it together, and make sure that you go out with like your friends, develop those connections, because that's what's going to keep your sanity, really. Like, so I feel like the first year I kind of didn't like, I was just like, no, I got to bear down. And like, I was just way too, again, into like school, and which is good, like, because again, like most of us who are type A who are getting into the program, not that it matters, but anyway, my advice would be to also be able to let loose, right? Like, you need that break. So if people are planning something and to go out together, that's your time to like vent a little together and have fun, because that's going to help combat and get you re-motivated to go back the next day and be able, like, ready to learn. You're not going to hit burnout so quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's so true. You got to make those connections, because then you can reach out if you're struggling, or you'll just have a safety net to fall back on when, like, the world of grad school just becomes shit. So it's like you gotta stay grinding.
Yeah,
you know? But you gotta have people on your side. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and especially maybe with COVID, I was actually trying to think of like new students with COVID and how that's gonna work. But I guess I would just try to like get close with a few students, and you guys can still practice with each other. I mean, following COVID policies and all that, but. Yeah, I'd make sure that you're still getting that one-on-one time with people in the program.
Do you still talk to your friends from school?
Oh, yeah.
It's good. Like, you are so strong, yeah.
They are, yeah. I mean, like, not a ton of people, but definitely. Actually, I was just a bridesmaid in one of their weddings this last weekend.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you definitely make strong bonds, because, like, again, like, you're being challenged in so many different ways. So, like, that's when you really get to know a person, right? Is when they're, I mean, at their best and at their worst, right? So, I mean, you kind of see it all in school.
Absolutely. Yeah. You definitely see people shine and definitely see people crash and burn.
So. Yeah. And it's the same with relationships too. Like, people always joked in the program, they're like, if you weren't married, if you're dating someone, they would always joke, oh, you know, like, you're either, if you can last through school, then you're going to be married forever, you know, so, yeah. Or vice versa. So, I mean, I think it's, as long as you expect that it's not going to always just be roses, that's fine. And it's a challenge, but it's all worth it.
Yeah. And that kind of feeds into my next question, which is, if you woke up tomorrow and you were 10 years old and you had to do it all over again to get back to where you are today, would you do it all over again?
Yes, 100%.
Hell yeah, actually, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, 150.
Actually, what were you going to say?
I was going to say 150%, actually, not just 100. Always give more than 100.
There you go. That's awesome. I love to hear that. And it's, as I tell everyone who I've asked that to, no one said no yet. So that's good.
Well, that is very good. Yeah. I was actually thinking after, I was like, who would say no? But hey, but no judgment. If someone did, then they should probably just, think about it. Different profession. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny though. I feel like PT is hard. I mean, it's hard to find a physical therapist who's like, oh, I wish I hadn't done this. It's like, it's such a diverse and good field. I mean, there's so many things you can do with it. You are, no matter what, you're helping people, even like in the acute, you know, rehab setting, there's still so much to gain from that as far as like fulfillment and job, you know, happiness.
Totally.
Physical therapy is like, or physiotherapy. I don't want to, you know.
No, you can use, you can say both.
Yeah, so it's like, it's such a fulfilling, it has a really good, it's just a cool gig, and I'm super pumped for my girlfriend to go into it and enjoy it herself, and you know, and for you as well, you get to do so many different things with it. It's awesome. It's a cool gig. You made the right choice.
Yeah, I'm happy about it. But I also, like, I guess that being said, it is cool, because let's say I do want to change, right? So it just has so many different areas that you can go into. It's not just like one way, you know, so that's what's a beauty. Like, maybe one day I'll end up in neuro or inpatient, who knows, you know. So
yeah, that a co-resident of mine, his wife was doing, like, I want to say, maybe we'll say outpatient sports, right? And
yeah,
then she moved here with him for his residency, and so she got a job inpatient acute rehab.
So, oh, interesting.
She like never thought she would ever do that as a PT, but then here she is, you know. So it's like, you know, different times call for different things, but
interesting.
And
does she like it, do you know?
I don't know. I hope so, though. It's funny. Yeah. I see her notes sometimes on a patient's chart, like, I know.
Oh,
her.
Cool.
Like, I see her note and, like, I know her. That's cool.
That's really cool. See, I love that. So, and then it's like, and let's say she even does go back to outpatient, then she can take all that new knowledge she learned from new experiences back into outpatient.
Yeah.
Because if you're working with neuro, like, even like the base of all exercises are very neuro based. Like, even a lot of stuff you'll see posted on Instagram and online, like, a lot of that is neuro. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'll stop. I'm geeking out.
No, I love the geeking out with physio stuff. So, like, I have another buddy who did geriatrics for like 4 years, and then now he's doing sports.
Oh, wow.
He like switched to sports. And like, that's
wow. Like, I bet he feels like people are getting better so quickly.
That's true. Like, the milestones for geriatrics, I'm assuming, are very different. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you walked 20 steps today. That's a huge improvement. And that's great for them, but that's tough. That's tough, yeah.
Yeah. I actually, like, when I moved to my city, so I moved here 2 years ago, I was doing a little bit of physio, like, with geriatrics, and it was just definitely a different pace, right? But again, it just makes you, you know, it's all a challenge. You just have to learn how to change the way that you treat and according to the person in front of you. So,
yeah, it's fun. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this was an awesome conversation, and I didn't get to ask all the questions, but it was more just like, because we had such a natural flow, some of them were just, you know, whatever, just random questions. So I think maybe I'll have you on again sometime in the future. I'd love to have you on again as a guest. That'd be sweet. So
yeah, I would totally do it. That'd be a blast. This is fun. And then we can go snowboarding, and then we can chat about our adventure snowboarding in Canada. Just easy.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to climb like a glacier.
Yes.
And then we'll snowboard down it.
Oh my gosh. I'm waiting. I'm going
to
wait.
All right. All right. I'm going to blame the time that it takes to get that to happen on COVID, not on fear and everything.
Deal. Deal. We can procrastinate that for sure.
All right. I'll be like, yeah. COVID's still kind of hot. You know, I'm definitely not afraid of doing both of those things.
Yeah, totally. In the meantime, I'm just going to practice every winter right now and be like, oh yeah, this is happening.
That's totally, totally unfair. You have a huge Canada advantage. The Canadian advantage. That's cool though.
Yeah, totally.
Well, hope you have a great day or a great night. And I think the first thing renovation-wise you need to do is get some AC in your house.
Oh, I agree. Like, then maybe next time I can go in the closet so we have some better sound quality next time.
Maybe next time we'll do that. So, well, Christy, it was such a pleasure talking with you. I really appreciate your time. And thanks again for being a guest.
All right. Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. You too. That was Christy Block, physiotherapist in Canada. Thank you so much for tuning in. And to those in the game and those on their way up, keep grinding and don't let anyone take your dream away from you. Thank you.